of talking about generosity, about just being givers. You know what I mean? Our world is so full of takers. People want, what is this country going to give me? What is this church going to give me? What is this job going to give me? Our world has become filled up with people that want to receive all the time. And even though we have received all the time and we've received the best of the world, we still seem to be empty and unsatisfied and no fulfillment in life. It's because God never intended for us to be selfish. God never intended for us to make it all about us. God intended for us to be givers. Everybody shout, give. Because giving, and we've studied this, and we're going to talk about it more in a moment, how when we give, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And how everything that we have, God has been so good to us. Can I hear a good amen? And no matter what kind of struggle you're facing, and no matter what kind of trial you are, comes from the Father up above. Blessed people, and we're blessed because of every good and perfect gift comes from the Father up above. Because God has been so good to us, and so we're learning to be givers. And so today, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to start out a 2-week, and I shouldn't even tell you, because a lot of you will not show up next week when I tell you the topic of the sermon today and next week. But the topic that we're going to talk about is finances. We're going to talk about learning to give with our money. We have talked for the last 6 weeks about giving of our time. We have talked about giving of our talent. We've talked about giving of our love. And now we're going to talk about giving of our money. Because the enemy, can I just tell you, I want you to look at me before you check plumb out. The enemy has fought against this financial situation in the church for many, many years. The enemy fights against it. And the reason that the enemy fights against you and I learning to give our finances is, look at me, because the enemy knows the value of learning to give your money. The enemy knows the value, and the enemy also knows the promises attached to learning to be a regular tither or a regular giver. You know, I'll just be honest with you. In the early days, I was always fearful of talking about money because I don't want anybody to think that we're all about money. But the fact of the matter is this, I've always taken pride in trying to be the best pastor that I could be. I want to push you. If you're living in sin, I want to push you beyond that sin. If you're living in untruth, I want to push you beyond that untruth. I want to push you to be the absolute best you can be. And so you know what? I'm going to do the same thing about our finances. Because how many can say finances are an issue in this world we live in? Can I hear a good amen? And there's a reason. So here's the deal. The reason we all get frustrated at it. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with so many sorrow. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. I really believe that we've done a poor job in the Christian church of teaching and talking about money and giving and tithes and offerings. I really believe we have. If you look at the church has operated on a shoestring budget for years. Barely getting by, skimping by. We don't buy the best sound system. We just buy what we can get by with. We don't buy the best material for our parking lot. We buy what is the cheapest. We don't buy the best carpet. We just get by. We've done a bad job, and we've operated on a shoestring budget. And can I tell you, that is not the will of our Heavenly Father. The streets in heaven are paved with gold, and God didn't send His only begotten Son to die on a cross so that you and I could just limp by, skip by, and maybe make it to the next day. God wants us to live the blessed life and the abundant life and bring glory to Him even through our finances. Oh, it's going to be a long morning, ain't it? It's going to be a long morning, because here's the scripture, Acts 20:35. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And if that is true, if we trust the word of God, then we should desire to be givers. We should desire to be more generous. So for the next couple of weeks, like I told you, we're going to be talking about learning to give through our finances. I got a little illustration for you here today, because here's my goal. Here's my goal for you in the church. How many will agree that when you climb up a ladder, you advance up, correct? Whoa. Here's what I want to see happen for you and for me. Sometimes, some of us, we give a first-time gift. We've never given before. We've never given to the church. We just have never, ever been taught. And so for those of you who've never given an offering, for those of you who have never given unto the church, my goal is to move you one rung up for you to give for the first time. Just move you up. Just push you. Just grow. And the second kind of giver we're going to talk about is an emotional giver. Maybe some of you have given, but you've not given on a regular basis. But you'll give to an emotional need. I will get up here and present. We're going to take up a love offering. We want to send some money to this mission field overseas. And it tugs at your heart. And you get emotions tied. Or I say, so-and-so's going through this sickness. And their bills are blowing. We want to take up a love offering and give to them. And so your emotions move. And so you give once in a while. Okay, if you've done that, good. I want to move you up to the next rung, to tithing. To saying this. I want to give 10% of everything I make back to the Lord, because it's what the scripture asks us to do. This tithing, it's when it becomes regular. You don't wait for somebody to push you. You don't wait for the preacher. You just go, everything I got is from God, and I'm going to give my first fruits back, and I'm going to do it on a regular weekly basis. Moving beyond tithes is offerings. Offering is above and beyond your 10%. That's when you just go, you know what? 10% is minimum, but God has never given me minimum. God has always given me excess. So you know what? I'm gonna put a little time, I'll put my tithe, but I'm gonna give a little bit more because God has been good to me. And then spirit-led, that's when you give emotionally, you tithe and you give offerings. And spirit-led is when all of a sudden the Spirit moves on your heart. And you go, wow, I want to have those lights fixed at that church. You know what? I'm just going to give excess, a big lump sum, because I feel the Spirit of God leading me to do that. This is all I want from you, for you to open your heart and open your mind and be willing to move up one rung in the area of giving, to grow. Let me take a quick time out, because you know what? Thank you. Can I say thank you to all of you who give? Can I say that to you? Thank you. Thank you so much. It does not go unnoticed. God sees it. We see it. Thank you. We're able, because you give, and because you give regularly, and you want to advance the kingdom of God, and you want Bethel to be the best that it can be, and you want Bethel to keep launching churches and branch out. Thank you. We're able to pay employees to come and be a part of the ministry of God on a daily basis. So thank you for that. Thank you. When you pay here, when you pay your tithes and your offerings, we get to work on our facility and keep it looking good. We pay for childcare. You, it's benevolence to help hurting people. Upkeep. We have missionaries. We have 35 missionaries that we support on a monthly basis, some in America, some overseas. We get furthering education. Because of you, we have sound systems. We have lighting. We can reach tons of people on the internet. We're able to do funerals at this place, weddings at this place. We're starting a school because you give. We have a playground out back. We get to invest in our town. When you invest in the kingdom of God, it advances the kingdom of God in our world. So let me say to you, thank you for what you do. Thank you for all of your giving. When you learn to give, not only is your church blessed, but you know what? You're going to be blessed as well. You are going to be blessed as well by your generosity. So let me go back to teaching about giving. Let me give you a scripture. Here's the truth. Here's the truth of your finances. Here's the truth of my finances. Here's the truth. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, we live in West Texas. Come on, y'all. We know about farming, right? We know about planting wheat seed. We know about planting cotton. We know about planting stuff. You have this big, huge field. You have a section out there, and you're going to plant it in wheat. What if you're skimpy and chinchy and tight, and you only go get a 5-gallon bucket of wheat seed, and you plant a 5-gallon bucket of wheat seed in a section of good black soil? You're just going to get a small crop in return. But if you go, no, I've got all this land, and I'm going to do a little extra, and I'm going to plant extra wheat seed. I'm going to sling it out there everywhere. At the end of the season, you will have an abundant crop. And some of us, we've just been giving a little bit to the Lord. Come on, somebody. Preach, Brother Cody, preach. Preach to me that stuff nobody else won't preach to me. And preach to me that stuff. Oh. This goes for your money. Oh, Lord Jesus. When you sow in the kingdom of God, there is a principle of sowing and reaping. And if you sow, you will reap according to the word of God. You do not give in vain. And the fact of the matter is, we're chinchy on the Lord. We give him a little bit of our time. We give him a few of our Sunday mornings. We give him a little bit of our prayer. We give him a little bit of our money. And we're receiving a little bit. And you know what we're doing? Sitting over here griping because we're only getting a small harvest. When the harvest is not in the hands of God, the harvest is in hands of God's people. How much are we willing to give? Because how much we're willing to give is how much we're willing to receive back. So here's, let me give you some more. You ready for this? I'm ready for you today, okay? Proverbs 18:16. Giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people. Giving a gift. Giving gifts. Giving gifts everywhere you go. Can I just give you a little extra something this morning? I think as born-again believers, as blessed as we are to give gifts to all people all the time. If somebody invites you over to their house to eat, can I tell you something? Take them a gift. Take them a gift. I don't care if it's a little chicken do $5 candle that you bought at the dollar store down there. I don't care if it's a bouquet of flowers to set on the table. Be a giver. Gifts can open doors. Give to people that you know. Give to people that you don't know. Be known as a generous believer in Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, when we give gifts to God, when we give God our time, when we give God our talent, when we give God our money, it opens doors for us in our life. Want to prosper, shout yes. I mean, really, how many of you want to prosper, shout yes. The generous will prosper. That's a promise from the Word of God. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Refreshing others. Giving to others. So let me back up and tell you, when you give to your church, when you give to the place where you worship, then in turn, we are able to refresh other people, and God traces those steps back in that obedience of yours to giving, and God will bring a refreshing over your life. It's true. It's just the Word of God. Oh, got ahead of myself. Giving, being a giver, it's imitating the very, very nature of God. Our God is a giver. And so over the next couple of weeks, like I said, we're going to discuss the different steps and the different principles of tithing. In case you don't understand, we're going to discuss this further next week about first time, emotional, about what does it really mean, tithe? What is T-I-T-H-E? Not a word that we use a whole bunch, but a word in its original form that just means tenth. It's a principle from the Old Testament where we just say, you know what? Of everything I get, I'm giving a tenth back to God. It's called the offering of first fruits. And then we'll talk about offering and we'll talk about spirit level. We're going to talk about that more. But today, I want to just kind of close with this one little final story about giving, because giving really is all about your heart. It's all about your heart. It's all about your heart. Giving is all about your heart. It's not about your money. It's not about your, it's just about your heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this: you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Cheerfully. First time I ever went to this church with Jennifer and Abilene, Glad Tidings Assembly of God. They'd come time for the offering. I'd never been around it in my life. The church I grew up in, when it come time for the offering, everybody got quiet and still and staunch. You know what I'm saying? And they passed the plate around. Everybody. I went to this church with Jennifer, and they was playing the drums during the giving. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Come on, y'all. We're going to be cheerful givers today. Aren't we glad to give back to the Lord? Don't we realize everything we got is given? Come on, y'all. Let's be cheerful and let's give back to the Lord. It's the first place I'd ever been in my life. They was cheerful about giving money. And the reason they were cheerful about it is because they understood the Word of God, and they understood the principle, and they understood the blessings attached to the principle of giving. Man, I so want us to be that way. I so want us to be that way. I so want us to be that way, that we're cheerful, that we're looking for an opportunity. And I'm talking about yesterday at church, but you know what I want you to be? I want you to be outside of this church as cheerful as you are inside. I want us to be the kind of people that everywhere we go, I am not going to wallow in my pity. I'm not going to wallow in the things that are going on. I'm not going to feel bad for myself. I'm going to do what I can to give to others. I am cheerful. I have my head up looking around for someone to help and someone to give to. It'll change our life, our heart. It will change the life of others. And can I tell you something else? It will change the perception of the world considering the church and the kingdom of God. If we just give all the time. God loves a cheerful giver. So I'm going to read you this story. The greatest story to me of a cheerful giver. The greatest story. Because this woman in Scripture, she did what she could. She did what she could. And so because I've done this 21 years, some of you are already sitting out there and you're already going, but Cody, I just can't afford to give. I just can't. Times are tight right now. You know, we got this administration that's kind of nuts up there and gas is high. And we got all these excuses. And I'm just going to tell you, you've bought the lie of the enemy, because here's the deal. When you say I can't afford to give, the fact of the matter is you can't afford not to give. You need to understand that and change the way you think and change your heart. And you say, well, I don't have this much to give and I don't have that much to give. Listen to me. It's not about how much zeros are attached to the on the end of your check. It's not about how many American dollars. It's about your heart saying, I just want to give. And I want to read the scripture of this woman. I love this. One of my favorites, found in Mark 12, verse 41 through 44. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple. So let me just say right quick, back in the day, Jesus was sitting there and they took up an offering back in the day to keep the temple going. So it's biblical principle. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and he watched as the crowds dropped their money in. Many rich people put in large amounts. Lord, please send many rich people to Bethel Assembly with giving hearts and cheerful to drop large amounts of money in our bank. Then though, let me stop. Can I just say something right quick? Can I say something? Some of you have been very, very, very blessed financially. You've been smart. You've been wise. You've invested your money. You've done good. And you know what? Maybe your gift is not teaching. Maybe it's not preaching. Maybe it's not worship. Maybe it's not operating in the gifts of the Spirit. But did you know, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter, blessed you financially, I'm telling you, you are a blessing to the body of Christ and you are part of the body of Christ. And I say, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly bear. And if you're going to give, give a whole lot. Just saying. Verse 42, so this Jesus is in there passing the plate. Everybody's putting large sums of money in. Verse 42, then a poor widow, poor widow, no money, poor widows. This is biblical times, y'all. They didn't have the good old U.S. government when you were a widow or when you didn't have a job to send you an unemployment check. There was no such thing as welfare back then. This is a woman that's poor. Her husband, a husband in biblical times, was the breadwinner. He did the working. Proverbs 31, a woman stayed home. She was a homemaker. She took care of the children. She was a wife. She has nothing. She has no income. She is a poor widow, seemingly with no way to make any more money. This poor widow came and dropped two small coins. Two coins. Two pennies. If you study the scripture, you'll find out it's less than pennies, really. But we'll just use pennies for an example. She put two pennies in there. Jesus said, you know what? I can make a teaching moment out of this. I can use this. He called his 12 disciples to him, and he said, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to tell you the truth. You see that poor widow over there? Got them scruffy-looking clothes on? That poor widow over there? You know, barely made it to church? That poor widow, she has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. This one woman, widow, struggling, tough times, hard, could have felt sorry for herself, could have shrunk back, but she said, no, even in my circumstance, in my situation, the Lord's been good to me. And the Lord's still on my side. And I may not can give much, but I can give a little bit. And she knew that in giving, it would unlock something supernatural. And it would unlock something in the spiritual. And Jesus said, she has given more than everybody else. If this woman could give something more than anybody else, shouldn't you and I learn to say, I'm going to give back to my God because my God is good to me. It doesn't matter the size of your offering. It matters that your heart says, I want to give back to God. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Conrad, you guys come on up here and help me close this for a minute. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and I'm going to ask you to close your eyes while those guys come up here and get ready. Here, I got you, Jesse. Because I want you just to see how good the Lord's been to you. I want you to think about your giving to the Lord. Just giving to the Lord in general right now. Like, I want you to ask yourself, hasn't God been good to me? Focus on Him right now. Don't focus on negative. Focus on the good things in your life. And as you look and you see the things that He's given you health. He's given you family. He's given you a place to live and a place to lay your head. From the looks of most of y'all, He's given you some pretty good groceries too, just saying. He's given us the air that we breathe. He's given us this country. God has been really, really good to us. And I want you to ask you, I want you to look at your life and are you giving back to Him? I'm not just talking about money right now. I'm talking about, are you giving Him your time? I know you come to church, and I am so glad you come to church, man. But what rest of your time during the week are you giving to God? Are you giving God your talents? Are you giving God your voice? The more you give, the more you're going to receive. And I'm going to tell you what, used to in the old days, when we preached on tithing and giving, we always passed the plate and asked people to, you know, start moving up one rung. But we're going to take it slow this time. And I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to ask you to just pray about this week, about your finances. Pray about it. Lord, what would you have me do? I don't want you to give any extra today. Just pray about it. Pray about moving up one rung on that ladder. Next week, come on back. I'll give you an opportunity to give next week, next Sunday, to move up, to do something different. So wherever you are on that ladder, if you've never given, boy, that can be so hard for the first time. I want you to pray this week, Lord, give me the courage to give one time. It don't make no sense, but give me the courage, God. God, show me what you want me to give. Maybe it's 2 coins. Maybe it's $2. Maybe it's 200. You just ask the Lord this next week. What do I do to give for the first time? And if for some of you who've just given sporadically, I want you to go, Lord, help me begin to give regularly. Help me begin to give on a weekly basis. I'm not going to look at what I can see. I'm going to look at what I can't see. Help me, God. Give me courage. Start giving every week, 10% every week. And then for those of y'all, maybe the Lord's asking you to give in the way of offering, which is above and beyond that 10%. And then maybe Spirit-led giving. Maybe the Lord is going to this week, the Holy Spirit's going to say to you, hey, you know what? You need to give $10,000 to get that sound system fixed over. I don't know. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. Say, I want to move up one rung. Give me courage to do that. Courage to trust you in it, Lord. So I'm going to pray for you, and then I want us to stand up on our feet. We're going to close with a song of worship. Father, we just love you and we thank you for today, and we thank you for all our many blessings. Holy Spirit, I ask you to begin to move in this service and speak to us. Lord, we want to be generous. We want to be givers. Holy Spirit, I pray that you speak to our youth in here today. I pray you speak to our students in here today. That we don't wait till we're 30 and married with kids to understand this. Lord, I pray that we would raise up kids in the church that wouldn't be selfish, that would be givers. They would say, I got a job. I can give $2. I can give $10. Speak to us all, Lord. Push us, stretch us, move us. Not because it's about money, but because it's about our heart to give back to you and to advance your kingdom. Holy Spirit, move. Speak to us all in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, y'all, stand up on your feet. Let's close with worship.